Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you till 2 o'clock this afternoon. I hope you'll be able to stay tuned afterwards. Of course, so we'll have Pastor Rusnacko coming on at 2 o'clock, and hope you enjoyed listening to Pastor Lutz there at 1 to 1:30. And so we've got three pastors in a row here, but I'm going to have a special guest coming on here in momentarily this afternoon. But I do want to thank everybody that helped out and prayed for us to be out at the Summit County Fair last week. And thanks to Pastor Lutz for filling in for me or sitting in the studio here so that I could be out at the fair. And of course, while I was out there, we had a booth for our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, set up at the Summit County Fair. We were one of the last fairs. I guess there was a fair in Tiffin that was going on last week as well, but thanks to the governor's crazy orders, the fairs have been canceled, turned into junior fairs just where they can have the I want to say the 4-H clubs and things like that going at it with their livestock and various displays. So hopefully maybe sanity will return to our government someday and they'll let the fairs pick back up and get back into operation. I was listening to somebody talk at the fair last week, and they were making the point, if Cedar Point can be open and Kings Island can be open, why can't the county fairs be going they have in the past? So I'm not going to spend my time on that, but of course, again, want to thank everybody that prayed and helped out so we could be out there this past week, and we had a good time talking with people. Numbers were down, obviously, because they hardly had near as many people coming out, but it was good nonetheless to be able to be out there. Also wanted to touch on something here real quick before we get to our guest as I get started here. Actually, two things. Reminder, check us out online. I'm Pastor Al Davis, Pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. From there, you can click over to our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. And we'll have more information on that at the end of the program. We have our Bible study tonight. You're certainly invited to come out. If you have nothing to do tonight, we'd love to have you. And our church services on Sunday, our Sunday morning service at 11, currently preaching through the book of 1 Timothy. And then Sunday night, I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs at 6 o'clock is our time for the service then. And then, of course, our Friday night Bible study, which is free form, where people bring questions and we delve into the Word of God, looking at questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. Wanted to make a quick statement here, too, on the governor, as no doubt many of you heard, that yesterday he was supposed to meet President Trump at the when he came into the airport and was going out to the Whirlpool plant out in Clyde, and they do a test on everybody that's going to be coming in contact with the president, coronavirus test, and our governor tested positive. That was the big news yesterday. Last night, apparently, he had two more tests that showed him as negative, and then he's supposed to have another test, I guess, tomorrow. And well, who knows? I mean, this is they're trying to imply that the test that the White House and the Secret Service were relying on is unreliable. I would suggest that they're trying to use the best that they can in order to protect the president. So to try and imply that they're using unreliable tests. So whose test is unreliable? So I had this statement here, and I'll just read it, and then we'll get to our guest here and get going with the program with that portion here. But so if the first test that the governor had was a false positive and the second test was a true negative, would that mean that the third test that he had was a definite maybe or a possible certainty? Which one do we believe, and what does that say about all the other tests that have been reported? So Are they all false positives or true negatives or definite maybes or possible certainties? If you're not confused about that yet, I am, and they're making policy based on this. So just something to think about when you hear about the governor's repeated tests. Maybe they're just testing until they get the results they want. And the other question, too, is his first positive now listed as a coronavirus case, even though he's since tested negative? And if you test positive again, will that be a second coronavirus? Well, we could go on and on with that. It's a lot of confusion. And you know, I remember over a month ago, he said, 2.5 weeks of wearing masks and we'll knock this down. That's all we need. Here we are now indefinitely having to wear face masks. So that's my screed for the day. And after that, I want to get to our program here. We have a special guest with us today. We have Dave Roser. He's the principal of Hametown Christian Academy in Norton, Ohio. And Dave Roser, welcome to the program today.
Hey, Pastor Al, thanks for having me on.
Hey, I'm glad
to be here today.
I'm glad to have you there. Had to get my little screed off my chest here before I get started here today. It's just so confusing what's going on. One thing gets changed here, another thing gets changed there, and then this week what's on is off, and next week what's off is on, and it's confusion. I think really it's by design, but we're here to talk about Christian education today, and you are the principal, as I said, of Hametown Christian Academy, and can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, we're a school in Norton, Ohio that's been in operation for around 37 years now, and I myself graduated from the school, and I went on to Akron University, got my teaching degree, and now have been teaching at the school for around 11 years. And this is my second year now being principal. So it's been quite a long journey. You know, I've kind of experienced school from the side of a student and the side of a teacher and now from the side of administration. So it's that my life is education, and that's what God's designed me to do, and I love it, I'll tell you. It's a great, great experience. The school in general it's a small kind of family-type environment. We run usually around 60 students has been our average over the years. We've been higher, we've been lower, but we actually purposely like to keep it at a smaller type of environment because you tend to be able to keep your finger on the pulse of what's going on in the school a lot better, you know, as you have a smaller environment. We have a great student-to-teacher ratio, in which there's just a lot of teachers that are able to help and rotate through the children. And the students receive a lot of individual attention. So kind of the basic points of the school is we do individualized education with the students. It's essentially almost one-on-one tutoring. And we're also incorporating many different exciting things this year that are more lecture-based to prepare them for the world after high school. And there's just a lot of really neat things going on. I can't tell you how excited I am over all that the Lord is doing in our ministry right now and all that he has done in the past. You know, our ministry has gone through a lot from, at 1 year, our building was set on fire by arsonists and, a couple people in the community who didn't agree with the Christian stance. And, the Lord brought us through that. And, you know, we had to find a new building and, you know, the new building we found had some issues with the roof and we dealt with some serious water damage and flooding, and the Lord has brought through He brought us through that, and you know, here we are now in a kind of a nationwide pandemic, and all of the difficult things that leaders are in kind of forced to deal with right now, decision making, and what's safe, what's not safe, what to do, what not to do, to wear a mask, don't wear a mask, and you know what? I'm confident the Lord's going to bring us through this as well, and I'm excited about this coming school year. I'll tell you.
Well, and you're talking about the challenges that you've been through, and of course, certainly everybody's thinking about those challenges right now in the face of the COVID and coronavirus fears. And I hesitate to say epidemic anymore because, according to the government's own figures, we're below the epidemic levels now. But still, doesn't change the fact that there's this inordinate fear. And you mentioned that you're taking measures to make sure that the students are safe. And has it impacted your school much in terms of people being afraid? As I know some schools, people are saying, well, I don't want to send my child to school. I'm afraid. What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you. in just the days, I can't remember, was it last week, maybe 3 or 4 days ago, not sure, when the governor announced that K through 12 is mandated to wear masks. That was quite a shock for many people, because in many people's mind, it's logical for maybe 10 and up to wear masks, like they can handle it and they can deal with it. But to extend that down to a kindergartner is, in a lot of people's minds, illogical and very difficult to how are teachers going to enforce this and constantly be dealing with it, you know, throughout the day. Hey, Johnny, your mask isn't a slingshot. Or, hey, Johnny,
don't
on your mask. Or don't take Samantha's mask, or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
It's going to be very difficult. And immediately after the announcement from the governor, I must have got 16 calls inquiring about our school in the next 3 days. And most of it was parents that were absolutely not on board with this concept of the mask wearing. So right now, as a private institution, a Christian religious organization, we do have a little bit of latitude when it comes to some of these things, and we're working. You know, Pastor Al, it's a difficult thing. You know, the Bible tells us to obey those that have the rule over you, and it tells us, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for the powers that be are of God, and they are ordained by God. And so we look at those, and we're doing our best to follow those that are in authority and what they've mandated. And at the same time, we also know that there's another order of authority that essentially goes God, family, church, government. And you look at that, and we also understand that an individual family, they have an authority structure there, and they're able to make decisions for their immediate children and family. And so it's a difficult, complex thing. And to tell you the truth, there's a lot of people calling because they assume, you know, it's going to be 100% different here. And the answer is we have a lot of safety protocols in place. Right now, 26 different points and measures that we're going to be doing for safety for the children. As far as the mask topic is concerned, I can't speak entirely for the school at this moment because we're still in the process of working our way through these decisions. And it's a difficult time. I'll tell you, it was a difficult time, and the outrage of parents on both sides of this is one that's so difficult to navigate through. But ultimately, you know, our stance is we want to hold to what the Bible says is true, and no matter what, we'll always follow, you know, in that direction. And so, yeah, it's been a difficult time. There's been a lot of people calling, and we do have a little bit of leeway, and we are going to do our best to come up with a balanced, safe approach for the school year. Overall, though, I'm excited about this year. There's a lot of people that are excited about what's happening, apart from a stay-at-home order mandated by the government across the board, homes, businesses, everything. We will be having school 5 days a week. So that's one thing I can say for sure.
Well, that sounds like you guys have put a lot of thought and prayer into this, and I appreciate that. And, you know, it is. It's something that I think that reasonable people, especially if you know Christ and you're directed by the Spirit of God, I think that a reasonable way of approaching this is prayer. Not that prayer is the only thing that we do, but guidance by the Word of God, and then you know, let the Spirit lead us in our ability to carry out the work that He's given us to do. Because, you know, the work of the Lord has to go on regardless of what's happening in the world around us, and so we do the best that we can. And certainly, Christian education, I think, is a work that I think God blesses, because, you know, we think about it, it's our responsibility, you know, to our responsibility to encourage the young people that are growing up to teach them and to train them and to educate them. And really, hopefully, I know this is something that you believe in, try to help them to grow up with a biblical worldview. And I think Christian education is a great way to do that, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, someone, I'd say it was a month and a half ago, somebody asked me specifically and directly, it was a parent that was looking to come into the school. They asked me, they called and said, what do you think is the fix for education in general? I said, wow, that's quite a tall order to just hand me there to be able to suddenly come up with the answer to all the nation's problems regarding education. But I do know several things. Here's what I do know. Let me give you an example. In Detroit in 2016-2017 school year, there were schools in the inner city there that were performing very, very poorly, some of the poorest in the nation. Many people during that time, they were protesting that these schools needed more funding. They needed better teachers. They needed better equipment. And it became kind of just a rallying point for those communities. And in the nation, or the state listened, and they provided the funding for those things. And so they became actually one of the most heavily funded districts in the nation. Went from being one of the poorest districts, as far as funds go, to one of the heaviest funded things. They built new schools. They got new teachers in there. They got new equipment and everything. We're here now in 2020. And nothing about the testing scores nor the violence and drug use and those sorts of things have changed. And the reality is that you can get all the money you can pumped into the education system. You can get all of the best teachers you can. But the reality is there's been an absence of the most important thing, and that is the presence of God in our education system. You know, over time, God has been slowly pushed aside in our public education system. I'm not saying there's not great people there teaching and doing their best. Many Christian brothers and sisters there working very hard. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm saying over time, the nation has been pushing in this direction to exclude Christian values and morals and just general, basic guide to living of the Ten Commandments, to exclude all of these things. And the result is you have a generation after generation coming up and slowly, slowly deteriorating to the point to where, you know, there's no respect for authority. There's no desire, you know, to receive instruction. There's a selfish kind of entitled attitude that's happening. You know, I read a post that a pastor made, Pastor Dave Burden from Lighthouse Baptist in Akron. He posted a set of verses today I thought were so good. Do you mind if I read them?
No, go ahead.
Okay. It's in Proverbs 30, 11 through 14. It says, there is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. And the pastor said, these are the four characteristics of a failed generation. They're disrespectful towards authority. They're self-righteous and void of understanding. They're arrogant and self-absorbed, and they're merciless towards those considered lesser than themselves.
Wow.
And that's what we're seeing on a mass scale today. And all I can say is, well, what's the fix for education? Is that person asked me, what do you do? All I can say is it's about time that parents, especially believers in Christ, recognize the need for them to start training their children up in the way that they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. And I don't mean to say that they don't care or anything like that, or not trying, but the need for a Christian-based education along with a regular education is so vitally important right now so that parents can have the comfort of thought to know that the generation following them, their children, will follow on in the ways of the Lord. Because right now the world's working real hard to push in the opposite direction. Children are being told to question what gender they are at younger and younger ages. They're being told that, you know, relations outside of marriage are a normal thing, younger and younger. They're being told that whatever you feel is good is okay, and whatever your opinion is must be right. But the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot trust our own heart and our own desires, and children need to understand that there is a solid foundation of truth upon which they can govern their lives, and that is the Word of God. And so morals must be included in education today.
Absolutely.
The understanding and the principles of Christ must be injected into education today.
And, you know, we're coming down to the last 5 minutes or so here, and I was going to mention something here. You mentioned about the Ten Commandments, and there's something that's really interesting. A lot of people don't realize the phenomenal change that took place when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Because remember, the Hebrew people had come out of Egypt, and in Egypt, very few people really knew how to read or write. There was a very, very low rate of literacy, and part of that was by design, so that only special classes of people would be educated to be able to read and understand the laws and things. And that's part of it was the Egyptian language. You had to memorize thousands of characters. And the brilliance, the thing that's encompassed in the Ten Commandments is in the Hebrew language, which instead of thousands of characters, it was reduced down to 22 characters. And with those 22 characters, you could form all the words and everything. It made it possible for the average person to learn to read and write, and then for God to give the ordinances, as he told Moses in Exodus 18:20, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. And then, of course, God used that to give us a guideline. And so the literacy rate that they enjoyed allowed them to understand not only what God wanted from them, but how to be in the right relationship with God. And when you look at some of these schools today that have gone so far away from teaching some of these fundamental basics of reading and writing and things like that, and the literacy rates are suffering tremendously. If you think about it, it keeps people from understanding who God is and what he expects of them. And so I think when you can combine teaching like they did in the ancient Hebrew setup here that was instituted by God on Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, and do it in such a way that even children can become literate. Not just a special class, but everybody can become literate. And to see a school such as yours that's engaged in educating our children, the next generation, and educating them with a biblical world value so that they can understand the Word of God, understand who God is and what he expects. That, I think, is the way that we can reach, if the Lord tarries, we can reach the future generations much more effectively. I think I waxed on a little bit there on literacy and the importance thereof, but your school is going to be opening up soon, and we've got just a few minutes left. Can you tell people, if they're interested, how they can contact or find out more information?
Yeah, they can call us directly at 330-620-4990 to reach our admissions, and we offer a free tour of the facility, and it's no charge. There's no obligation whatsoever. You can come check us out, see what we offer. And what we're going to be doing this year, we will have our finalized, but things may change in the government, but our newest finalized version of our COVID-19 regulations up on our website by Wednesday. We have a discount going on, 20% off for those that sign up between, it started back in June, but through September 1st, if you sign mm-hmm. up, it's 20% off of tuition for the entirety of the 2020/21 school year.
And what's your website?
HaintownChristianAcademy.org.
All right. And Dave Roser, I want to thank you for being on the radio with us today. And you've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. I'm Pastor Al Davis. My guest today has been Dave Roser, principal of Hametown Christian Academy. And we got about 30 seconds, I think, to go there. And if you want to give that website again one more time there, Dave.
Sure. It's Hametown HAMETOWN, HametownChristianAcademy.org.
And again, thanks for listening, everybody. And if you're interested in Christian education, you ought to be. Pray for Hametown Christian Academy, even if you don't have children. And I'm sure you could use some donations as well. I always use that. But thanks so much for being on the air with us today. And again, check them out, HametownChristianAcademy.org. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.